This morning, I can't wait to continue talking to you about the series we started 2 weeks ago called Better Together. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're sitting with me. Look at your other neighbor who you just completely rejected and told them that you're not my favorite. Tell them I love you too. The reality is you weren't created to do life alone. Our bedrock text is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. In this series, it says two. Somebody let me see your two. Get your two up. Everybody get your two in the air. Amen. If you want to be a part, you got to participate. Get your twos up. There you go. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. I like that. Somebody there to reach out and help whenever we fall. How many of you know everybody falls? The difference is believers get back up just one more time than they got knocked down. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Verse 11, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. I like that one. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two, somebody say two, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And so we know that strong people have strong relationships. Again, strong people have strong relationships. If our relationships are dysfunctional, chances are our life will be too. Nothing is more important in our life than our relationships. And that's a reality that we must embrace so that we can begin investing where it matters. If you boil Christianity down to just one word, it's all about relationship with God made possible through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we're doing is we're taking the most important thing in our life, relationships, and we're bringing them into alignment with the Word of God. We're looking at God's Word and seeing what it says and building our relationships based on God's blueprint. And so this morning, the area of relationships I want to talk to you about is the who. Somebody say the who. The who. And so I, one more time, say who. Say who. Now, I'm not talking about an owl, right? And I'm not talking about, there's another the who. I'm not talking about those guys, Mike Powers. I'm talking about the who. Who do we do relationship with? Because our text in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 is very clear that this is somebody that was a close companion. This is somebody who we're doing life with, that is there to help us succeed, that is there for us when we fall, that is there to help us in the battle seasons of our life. And I don't know about y'all, but I can speak for myself personally. There are times when I go through battles in my life. I know everybody else has got the victory in every area, but there are still some things that I battle with. Can I get an amen this morning? Okay. And so it's important that we have those people in our life, because who you choose to associate with is important. Every good thing in your life will flow through a relationship. It goes as far as to say you cannot and you will not fulfill God's purpose without the right people in your life. I could not be in the will of God without the right people in my life. Right wife, right life. Right man, right plan. You can go right down the line with that. You've got to have the right people in your life. The people you surround yourself with and connect yourself to are extremely important. So we've got to answer the question, who then should I or shouldn't I be in relationship with? Who should I be drawing close to, and who should I be distancing myself from? Who do I associate with? Somebody say associate. If a person is an associate, then it means it's someone we join as a partner with, or a friend, or a companion. So an associate is a partner, a friend, or a companion. It means to join or connect together. To associate with somebody is to bring together or into relationship. Our associates are people that we keep company with. It's the people that are in our inner circle. And so today, I want to give you three laws of association that should govern your relationships. Three laws, three keys of wisdom of association that will govern our relationships. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for your presence in this room. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would saturate my words with the power of the Holy Spirit, with your anointing, and I ask that they would burn in our hearts like fire. I pray in Jesus' name that today our minds not just be entertained by what we hear, but Father, I ask that it would sink deep into our spirit and it would transform us and the way we do life, that we would be able to do counterculture the way Jesus taught us and be a shining beacon to those around us of your love and of your life-giving power. And Father, we ask today in the name of Jesus, if there be anyone here who doesn't yet know your Son as their Savior, I thank you now, and I ask that before we leave this morning, they would receive you as their Lord, call upon your name. I pray that Satan would not be able to twist or pervert one word spoken in this room to cause anyone condemnation or to step out of your will. But Father, let your word accomplish that which you please and prosper in the people whereunto you send it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Three laws of association. Here we go. Law number one. Law number one is simply this. Association determines impartation. Association determines impartation. Now, when something is imparted to you, it is what you receive from someone else. An impartation is not taught. An impartation is caught. How many of y'all know that when you get around certain people, you begin to pick up certain characteristics that they have? If you don't believe me, listen to Marcia say, y'all. I mean, there's just some stuff we pick up from being around other people. And the reality on this law is very simply this. Show me your closest friends and I'll show you who you are. You show me who you spend the most time with and I'll show you who you are as a person. Because people run in packs like dogs. I didn't say you are a dog, so don't get offended this morning. I said we're like dogs. We run in packs. You've heard that saying, birds of a feather flock together. You know, red birds stay with red birds, black birds stay with black birds, blue birds stay with blue birds. Am I right? So nature shows us even people are the same way. We tend to gather with people who are like us. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. Well, why is that? It's because I begin to become like the people I spend time with the most. Again, it's something that's more caught than taught. And that's why we've got to be careful, because that's a two-way street. For the people we allow the closest in our lives, they must be at the very minimal mutually beneficial relationships. And we see then that we begin to act like those we associate with. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says that they had arrested Peter and John for healing the lame man in the temple. And as they had them under investigation and they were watching their lives, they looked at them and they said they could tell, even though they were ignorant and uneducated men, that they had been with Jesus. I want to ask you today, have you been with Jesus? Because when you've spent time with the Lord, it gets on you. They could tell that they were followers of Christ. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 and 5, and the Message says, don't hang out, that's more modern language for us, with angry people. Don't keep company with hotheads. Why? Bad temper is, what's that C word? Contagious. Don't get infected. So we see then that there is a spirit, or there are actions, or there are attitudes on others that the Bible says, I want you to separate yourself from them because it's contagious and it can bring infection into your life. We say it like this: you are who you hang with. Very simply put, it's that easy. You cannot live the right life with the wrong people. Praise God. Thank you, Linda, for that amen right there. I appreciate y'all. Y'all give Linda a hand this morning. Thank you for that golf clap. Even Peter, when he got away from the right crowd, did the wrong thing. When Peter got isolated from the other apostles and disciples, what did he do? He denied Jesus three times. He never would have done that standing in their midst. When he was in their midst, he said, Jesus, I'm going all the way with you. Jesus, I won't let them crucify you. Jesus, I'll cut their ear off with my sword. Jesus, I'm your homie. Jesus, I'm your ride or die. But what happened? He got around the wrong people. And he began to do the wrong things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, one of the most powerful pieces of wisdom you will ever receive. Do not be so deceived. Paul's saying, wake up, you're believing a lie. Don't be so deceived and misled. If I'm misled, do I go down the right path or the wrong path? Wrong path. He says, evil companionships or communion or association. We're talking about laws of association. Corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. In other words, I can't hang around the wrong people and be the right person. This is a lot better than you're leading on today. I'm telling the truth right now. This is a lie that you got to know Satan is trying to convince each and every one of us. And the lie is that you can do life with the wrong people and expect to live the right life. And the answer to that is wrong. The deception is if I stick around, let me put it like this. If I stick around, I can pull them up. After all, Jesus said, I'm to be the light of the world. I'm to be the salt of the earth. Yes, he did, but he's not talking about your closest companions. He's not talking about the people you allow into your inner circle. He's not talking about the people that you do life with the most. They will never, you will not pull them up. They will pull you down. That's what the Bible is saying, and it happens every single time. But yet I watch people over and over and over think to themselves, man, I can pull them up. No, they're going to drag you down. And so we've got to be wise to that. The wrong voices lead to the wrong choices. If you don't believe me, ask the 10 spies who came back to Israel and told them a bad report. Their fear was contagious. Wrong voices, wrong choices. They all died in the wilderness, and only two of them went in and inherited the promised land God had prepared. So connecting with the wrong people can destroy your life. It can delay your destiny. It can detour you for decades. So you've got to be careful who you spend time with, who you mix with, who you start running with, because very simply put, if you sleep with a dog, don't be surprised when you got fleas. Now again, I didn't tell you you're sleeping with dogs. It's a metaphor. Be okay with that. You can't do life with just anybody. That's wisdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says this. Do not team up with those who are unbelievers. Now, I'm going to talk to you on a different morning about how we relate to unbelievers. Every believer ought to have relationships with unbelievers. But today we're talking about your associates, your closest people, the ones in your inner circle. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. Here's why. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with what? Darkness. They'd never coexist together. When light comes, darkness always leaves. Verse 15, what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? You've got to understand that we're not all God's children. You got to be born again to be one of God's kids. The Bible is absolutely clear. Jesus himself said it. It is written in red, you are of your father, the devil. Men do not have good hearts at their core. They have wicked hearts. That's why it requires a new heart to be a good person. How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? Verse 16, and what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we're the temple of the living God, as God said, I will live in them, I will live in them, I will live in them. Thank God the veil was torn in two like we sang today, and God's presence was released from a building into the hearts of men who call on his name. And he said, I will live in them and walk among them. God himself promised he is walking among us today. No wonder things happen when you're sitting in here. He said, I'll be their God, they'll be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean you're better than anybody else. It means you're better than you used to be. Because I'm not competing with anybody else. I don't need to be better than you. I need to be the best I can be. And I'll be satisfied with that. So believers handle relationships with unbelievers differently than we handle relationships with believers. Now, God has written this in his word to give us wisdom in how we do life so that we end up in the right places with the right people doing the right things the right way. Let me go a step farther and be much, much more specific. If you are here today and you are saved and you are single, it is not the will of God that you date an unbeliever. I'm going to go to meddling just for a minute. If you're saved and you're single, do not date for fun. Dating is dangerous because you can fall in love with anybody. You can fall in love with a fence post. Some of the married people say, yeah, I did. Look at me right here. Do not hang out with the knuckleheads. I'm living proof, and now I'm stuck with him. I'm stuck in loving it. Right? You can fall in love with anybody if you spend enough time with them. You can, and let me tell you, you can wind up in bed faster than you can blink before you know what hits you. And if you're sexually active, it will keep you in the wrong relationships. Let me reframe that. If you're sexually active before marriage, it will keep you in the wrong relationships longer than you would have ever stayed if that soul tie wasn't there. Why? Because the two have now become one, and you've forged a bond so strong that God intended it only to be used in husband and wives to keep them together. If you're saved and you're single, it is not the will of God that you date anybody unsaved ever, period, the end. No fudge on it. We do not missionary date. You will not pull them up. They will pull you down. I've watched one young lady and young man after another be on fire for God, hands lifted high, running after Jesus, and all of a sudden they show up at church with some knucklehead, and all of a sudden during worship, they stand there like a bump on a log. You might hate me now, but you'll be thanking me later. I promise you'll send me a Christmas card. There's some married folk in here sitting there right now that said, I wish I was sitting in here 10, 15, 25, 60 years ago, and it would have saved me a lot of heartache. My job is to keep you on the straight and narrow. My job as a shepherd is to point out the wolves. Let me tell you, I've been gummed by a few sheep, but I got a staff that will club the snot out of a wolf. So if you're saved and you're single and you're hanging around somebody that may not be all that in a bag of chips and you got the love goggles on, don't be surprised if I come telling them, hey, get yourself out of here. I love you. They don't need to be messing with God's sheep and God's children. Can you say amen? Amen. This pathway is a highway of holiness. And I promise you, it'll cost you up front, but it'll pay you on the back end. Can you say amen today? Number two law, the second law of association is this, that association determines your elevation. Association determines your elevation. Who you hang out with determines how far and how high you will go in life. And the simple principle of this one, when I boil it down, is show me your closest friends and I'll show you how high you can go. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. In other words, you ought to be spending time with people and finding people and praying people into your life and you into other people's lives who there is mutual benefit. The Bible says that when Mary walked in and began talking to Elizabeth, that the baby jumped in her belly. Can I tell you that you are pregnant right now with some things God wants to do in your life that have not showed up yet? But when you get around the people that when they talk, something on the inside of you starts to leap. Those are the people God has called you to do life with. People you surround yourself with can propel you or prevent you from the plans and purposes of God. They will either cause you to open up like a flower or close up like a clam. They can bring the best out in you or they will bring the worst out in you. They can release you or restrict you. And we have to choose wisely who we allow to be inside our inner circle and who we invite to do life with. I'm just going to say it like this. This is an invite only thing. And you better RSVP. It's invitation only. You've got to value yourself enough to know that you're worth the blood of Jesus Christ. And God hadn't called you to do life with just anybody and just everybody. He has called you to do life with specific people that He will bring into your life. Everything significant God does in your life, every blessing, promotion, increase, everything comes through relationships with other people. Satan knows that. That's why there will always be a counterfeit before the authentic article. Because he wants to see if you'll sell out. He wants to see if you'll be satisfied. He wants to see if you'll settle short. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous should choose his friends, what? Carefully. Notice that the righteous choose their friends. They don't let their friends choose them. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. Friends have the power to determine the direction of your life. And so what you have to do is you've got to evaluate before you associate. In other words, you're not judging, but you got to take a look at their life. You can be a fruit inspector, right? Jesus said you know them by their fruit. And so don't tell me you're an apple tree if you don't have no apples. I mean, every once in a while, at some season, at some point, there ought to be some apples showing up in your life. And so we've got to inspect the fruit because that determines the type of person it is. And we see in the Old Testament a great story of this. David does this very thing in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 17. It says, when David went out to meet them, this is what he said. If you have come in peace and to help me. He wants to know, have you come for my peace? Have you come for my benefit? If you've come to bring drama, I don't need any. No, thank you. He said, if you've come to help me, you are most welcome to join this company. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies, innocent as I am, the God of our ancestors will see through you. I like that. God himself is looking out for your relationships. And he will see through you and bring judgment on you. Verse 18, just then Amasai, chief of the 30, moved by God's spirit, said, we're on your side, O David. We're committed, O son of Jesse. All is well. Yes, all is well with you. And all's well with whoever helps you. Yes, for your God has helped and does help you. Watch this. So David took them on and assigned them a place under the chiefs of the raiders. Do you see that he put them in a place? When you are deciding if somebody is going to do life with you and relationship with you, you got to stay in charge. Amen? Now, these are things that go on the inside of you. You don't need to act that way, or I promise you, the situation will take care of itself. They're going to leave. But you've got to stay in charge of that situation. David took them on and assigned them a place. He put them in their place under the chiefs of the raiders. He didn't put them right by his side. And here's what I want to say to you today, because I think we got to bring the pendulum back the other way. We're way too open and accepting of just anybody and anything at any time. And that's just the kind of world we live in. But the Bible talks about being careful in this area. And you've got to know today that it's okay to say, I don't know if I want you in my life. I don't know if I want you around my wife. I don't know if I want you around my kids. How many of y'all know Adam should have taken some notes on this morning sermon? If there's a snake in my garden, I'm going to tell him to get lost. We've got to ask them, what spirit are you of? What are your intentions here like David did? And don't override that check. If you say, I just can't put my finger on it, but I know something's not right here. Don't override that. Amen? You don't have to be rude. But just keep them at arm's length and just give it time. Watch that relationship and see what happens. See what kind of fruit they bear. Because time is the great revealer. And the messengers of Satan masquerade as angels of light. Again, don't be so desperate for a friend that you're happy to take anything with a pulse. That leaves you open and vulnerable to the enemy's devouring of our lives. You cannot live the right life with the wrong people. When God radically changed my life on that Wednesday night in 1999, leading up to that, I'd walked into that place, an alcoholic and an addict, walked out totally changed, set free by the power of God. The enemy's clutches in my life completely broken. I walked in one way, walked out completely different, never, ever, ever the same. But leading up to that, I knew I was in trouble. I didn't need somebody to tell me I was wrong. I needed somebody to show me a way out. Because what I thought I was in charge of had now taken control of me. And so I was trapped. I was living in bondage. And so I didn't ask God to deliver me. What I asked him for was a new set of friends. I asked him for new people to do life with. See, God can deliver you from addiction. God can break chains in your life. He can break habitual sin in your life, whatever it might be. But let me tell you, if you don't get new people to be around and do life with, you're going to go right back into that same thing. That's the power of association. And so what happened was, when I walked into that church, in that moment, God radically changed my life, but he also radically changed my associations. And I knew how important that was for me to keep going to the right places and being around the right people. Because every time I got back with the old crowd, I went back to the old ways. And it only took about 3 times for me to realize, I'm just not doing this anymore. Every time I go back, I'm setting myself up for failure. And what happened was, he began to bring people into my life and open doors for relationship and place healthy relationships within my reach with stronger believers. People I could look up to, people I could ask questions to, people I could go to. But I had to go after them. I had to make myself available. It didn't just happen by itself, y'all. I had to go after those individuals. And here's some things I learned during that process of my life. And I'm still learning today. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they're agreed? In other words, I got to find people to walk with and do life with that I'm living in agreement with. And so I made up my mind there are some people that I just can't do life with. And I'm going to give you a list of those individuals that can't be the closest to me. Okay? I'm talking to you about associates, the people closest to you. And that is people who are selfish or self-centered. I just can't handle that. I want to give away everything I can. Marcia's got to reel me in. But I can't handle selfishness. How about people who are terminally negative? They're always focused on the problem. They're pessimists. They're defeatists. You know, anybody can point out the problem, but I'm looking for people who can come up with solutions. Anybody who can say, I can't, but I'm looking for people who can say, I can. I want to do life with people who know that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. I think about Melissa Snyder, who will be sitting right there in second service. She just graduated with her nursing degree, and this is what she wrote on the top of her cap. I can do all things through Christ, #nurse, and she's got the victory cross on there. Would y'all give Melissa a hand today? Melissa's a Philippians 4:13-er, and I can do life with somebody like that. I'm talking about people with no vision. You have the choice to say what you see or say what can be. People with no vision can't see anything beyond where they're at. And so they don't make decisions necessary today to get to where they need to go tomorrow. I can't let those people the closest to us. Because my Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for me because I love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Hallelujah. If you're a believer, you ought to have a bigger vision in your heart of what God's called you to be. I can't do life with a rebellious people. I've already been down that road. I spent enough time with that crowd. Matter of fact, for a long time I was leading it. But people who don't know the way, obey the word. If you can't obey the word and you don't make a place for God's word in your life, then I've got no place for you in my life. Or people who are bitter. People who are full of resentment. People who are full of unforgiveness. I love you, but if you won't let go of that thing, like Jesus said, if you don't forgive them their sins, neither will my Father forgive you yours. If you allow that root of bitterness to begin polluting you, and I promise you, bitter people are always trying to download their bitterness into you. They always want to talk about it every time you're with them. They bring up that negative relationship, and all of a sudden somebody you loved, they start painting them in a different light, and every time you see them, you have to fight off what it is you've heard. Some people have something negative to say about everybody they know, but I come to tell you, do not let their problem with them become your problem with them. People who are shady. I don't do well with that. People who are full of doubt. Even Jesus put the doubters out before he worked the miracles. If you're not full of faith, I can't let you into my inner circle because God has called me to do great things for him, and I'm living beyond myself. And every day I wake up breathing, I'm stretched beyond my limits, and I'm crying out, God, help me because I will fail without you. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. I'm not hanging out with faithless people because they can't please God. I want to be in the crowd that is pleasing to God because iron is sharpening iron, and we're making each other's babies leap. And every time we're together, we're encouraging each other in our walk with Jesus Christ and in the things we've been called to do. You got to kick the doubters out of your life if you're going to see God work miracles for you. And the last one this morning, the third law of association is very simply this: association determines destination. Association determines destination. And when I boil this one down as basic as it can be, it's show me your closest friends and I'll show you your future. You show me who you spend time with the most and I'll show you your future. If you want to know whether or not to be in association with an individual, ask yourself this simple question. Where is the relationship taking you? Life is linear. Amen? There's a beginning and there's an end. There's a destination. Where is this relationship taking you if you follow it to the end? Is it leading you closer in your walk with Jesus, or is it dragging you farther away from him? Is it pulling you up or is it dragging you down? Is it bringing out the best in you or the worst in you? Is it propelling you or is it preventing you? Is it releasing faith in you or fear in you? Is it leading you toward victory or towards defeat? Is it leading you towards freedom or towards bondage? Is it leading you towards being casual about your walk with Christ or being committed as a follower of Christ? Is it helping you fulfill God's plan or is it hindering you from obeying His word? And most importantly, if you keep following them, will you hear Jesus say wasted or will you hear Him say well done? Follow that path all the way to the end. If I've got to change who I am to hang out with you, no thank you. I see lots and lots of people who change who they are just so they can fit in. Can I tell you, believer, that you aren't created to fit in? God called you peculiar. Read 1 Peter. He said, you're a weirdo. Get used to it and be happy about it. Somebody's like, light bulb, things are making sense now. Why are you trying to fit into a world you're not going to stay in? I'm a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. That's why I sound funny to y'all. But when Jesus drops his first y'all at the marriage supper of the Lamb, somebody's going to slap me a high five. Pilgrims passing through. If I got to change who I am to be around you, I don't need that relationship. I know who I am. I know why I'm here. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know where I'm going. And what we see is we see that weak people are like chameleons because they don't know who they are. And so they begin to take on the characteristics of those that they spend time with. And listen to me close. Not because they're bad people, but because they're not strong in their identity and they don't know who they are in Christ and they don't know where they're headed. Here's another one. If I got to compromise my conviction and sell out my character so I can hang out with you, no thank you. No matter who it takes you from and no matter who it puts you with, at some point you got to say I'm going on with God. And I promise you, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. That includes the right relationships for you to get where you need to get and go where you need to go and do what you need to do and see what you need to see. Can I get an amen today? I've already been on the other side. I've already tried all that. You know, the difference, young people, hear me. You think I'm old because I'm starting to lose my hair in the back and I got this halo thing going on. I got gray in my beard. But let me tell you the difference between me and you. I used to be you. I used to sit where you are. I've been on both sides, and so now I can speak from both of them. I can promise you in 17 years of chasing after Jesus, there's not one thing I regret. There is nothing in that old life I want back. There's not one relationship I miss. There's nothing I let go of that I say, I wish I could get it back in my life. I have gained so much more than I lost, more than I could ever tell you. And my worst day with Jesus, I still wake up smiling, ready to do life with Him better than my best day in the world ever was. And so you got to make up your mind that I'm going to do life with Christ and I'm going to do life for Christ. And if you got to say adios, arrivederci, ciao, sayonara, bonjour, whatever you want to say in your language, I got to say adios to some people so that I can follow the one and only person in my life that matters. And anybody else that can keep up with you while you're running after Jesus, they're the ones who deserve to be in your life. I made up my mind that I'm not going to do life with people who tolerate me. I want to do life with people who celebrate me. That's one of the biggest things I was missing in my life growing up. It's part of the reason why I did some of the things I did. I'd take anybody who'd celebrate me, no matter what it was in my life, even bad. You're worth celebrating. You are worth celebrating. At our house, man, we'll party over anything. We'll throw down every day of the week. It's part of the reason why I look the way I do. You know, I swallowed that guy from 17 years ago. Life is worth celebrating, y'all. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're worth celebrating. I believe The Victory Church and our services ought to be a celebration every single week. I believe that's why people are attracted to this place and can't stay out of here. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate life. We celebrate each other. We celebrate the good and the bad and the ups and the downs. We celebrate the privilege to be above the ground today. We celebrate the opportunity to have another day. I don't know if y'all saw that rainbow or not this morning, but my goodness, it was a double. I'm not one of these people that constantly talk about rainbows, but I'm just going to tell you right now, it was the strongest rainbow I have ever seen in my life, and it landed on the other side of my in-law's house and went across the valley. And it was so bright that it colored everything in this yellow hue. And I looked out the window this morning. I actually thought something was wrong with my eyes and went and looked in the mirror to see if there was blood in my eyes. But it wasn't. It was literally that powerful that it was radiating. And I thank God for things like that. You know, when you say, Josh, why did you just waste 2 minutes talking about a rainbow? Because life is worth celebrating. Y'all know the saying, take time to smell the rainbows. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. We succeed or we fail based on our associations. The wrong relationship can cripple God's destiny for our life. The right relationships can catapult us into God's best. That's why you can't run with just everybody. You've got to know that there are people God has called you to connect with and do life with. I think about Mark chapter 2, the four guys who brought their friend who was lame to Jesus. And when they got to the house where they heard Jesus was, it was so packed that they couldn't get in. So when they said, we can't get in, they said, we're going to drag him up on the roof. I want you to imagine dragging somebody who can't walk on a stretcher up on the roof. They drug him up on the roof. What'd they do? They tore a hole in the roof and they let him down in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, when he saw the faith of their friends, he healed that man. Oh, God, give us some friends that'll carry us to Jesus when I can't walk. Give me some friends that when I can't get to Jesus, they'll carry me up on the roof. Give me some friends that will lift me to new heights. Oh, God, give me some friends that'll get me in front of Jesus. That's who he's called you to be. Who are you to be carrying up on the roof? I think about Paul and Silas sitting in that jail cell in the midnight hour. They've been beaten up and bruised. I mean, right now the Stanley Cup Finals are going on, Andy. And man, Nashville put it on Pittsburgh last night. There were catfish on the ice. If y'all know about Nashville, you get that. But they put it on them. And I think about Paul and Silas looking at each other like two hockey players. I mean, their face is bloody. They've been beaten. They got teeth chipped out. And they got that crooked smile. And they got teeth broken out and missing. I can see one hanging off of Paul. And they look at each other. And they say, man, God is good. And they begin to praise God. And they begin to celebrate in their midnight hour. That's the power of having a companion. That when you're down, you can encourage each other. You can still ignite a fire. Hallelujah. In your dampest, darkest moments, you are able to find the silver lining and look up and lift up Jesus Christ. And when you lift him higher, he lifts you out of your mess. Hallelujah. Things start shaking. Bondages start breaking. Doors start open. Hallelujah. And people around you are watching. And they're going to get free because of what God's done in you. That's the power of partnership. That's the power of relationship, John. Come on. We're lighting a fire in Troy. We're dragging people on the roof in Troy. Come on. We're taking them to Jesus in Troy. We're lifting them up in Troy. I come into agreement with you. I come into relationship with you. I come together with you. We are here for a purpose. Hey! Come on, give him praise. Take yourself a praise break. 10 seconds, as hard as you can. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise you. We worship. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you right now, I'm messed up now. You done messed me up. I'm passionate about life.
Get your head up today. Somebody got your head down. You're discouraged. Come on. God, give them their passion back today. Give them their fire back today. In the name of Jesus. God, give them hope in the name of Jesus. Give them joy that'll be their strength in the name of Jesus. Come on. He didn't die for no reason. I refuse to stand before him and hear him say, what did you do for with your life? And I can't say I didn't do nothing because I was afraid. No, 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 no. I refuse to stand before him and have something less than my best to present to him. We've got a limited number of days, church. Let me be the bearer of bad news. You are dying slowly. We got to make every day count. We got to make every day count. We got to make today count. I don't want to talk about tomorrow. Let's talk about today. You be the best you can be today. You lift Jesus as high as you can today. You love God with all your heart today. You love your neighbor as yourself today. You make a difference in somebody's life today. You sow your best into what you're doing today in Jesus' name. We got one chance to leave a mark. We got one chance to mark our generation. We got God put us here. If you're taking medicine, it's 12:16. God put us here. You were born for this hour. You were born for this moment. God put you here. He knew exactly who'd be in your sphere of influence. He knew exactly who he'd place within your reach. He knew exactly who could hear your voice. We got one chance to make a difference, church. We got one chance to leave a mark. We got one chance to raise our kids. We got one chance to love our spouse. We got one chance to show our world Jesus. We got one chance to leave a legacy by instilling enough of him in the next generation that they can do greater things than we did. I'm not here to play. We're not here to play. We're here to take over in Jesus' name. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. There are addicts sitting out there today, maybe even in here. They need what you've got. There are people who don't know Jesus yet that are just waiting on you to show up. There's somebody out there who's given up hope on life, maybe a waitress, and they're looking for somebody who will love struggle. And all of a sudden they go, my goodness, God is alive and I'm gonna make it. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God, for stirring us today. I pray in the name of Jesus that we would leave an undeniable mark on our world for Jesus Christ. And I pray for every person in this room and every relationship they have, the good ones, the bad ones, the broken ones, the ones that bless them and the ones they want to curse. I pray for them in the name of Jesus right now. God, don't change the other person, change us. And in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you that we will be a catalyst for kingdom come in those relationships. I ask it now in the authority of Jesus Christ, and I release in this room and in every heart and over every home a fresh infusion of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, of your grace that is amazing, of your joy that is our strength, of your peace that passes all understanding. And Father, for those who are doing life alone, send them to those you have called them to be connected with, and send the other to them. I thank you now in Jesus' mighty name.